语口译实务三集第六和
Section 4 Interpretation Practice Note Taking and Gap Filling Note Taking Listen to the tape and take any necessary notes. Business has come a long way since the days of scientific management. Indeed,In today's highly competitive marketplace, many top executives recognize that their organization's most vital resource is in its people. The best people, working under the best conditions, do the best job of satisfying customers with the best goods and services. Oren Harari, senior consultant with Tom Peters Group,and a business professor at the University of San Francisco, cites a conversation he had with the CEO of a computer company. He feels what's going to make or break him is the ability to attract and retain the very best people. I think more executives are starting to get it, that their fortunes are tied to keeping more of their quality, committed people on board.Harari contends that increasing evidence shows that the most important predictor of the company's growth and profitability is now customers' loyalty, the people who make, sell, and service the products do. Quality lies in employees as well as the goods and services they produce.How do organizations remain competitive by attracting and keeping the best employees? It is important to note that the human resource pendulum, which for a number of years had swung toward the ideal of simply making employees happy so they would be motivated and productive, has now begun to swing back toward the middle. Management, consultants, and executives have begun to recognize that when employees have a stake in the success of their own company, when they view themselves as business people, they produce. Gap filling. Listen to the tape and fill in the blanks with the words missing.
When Motorola embarks on a project, the organization employs every resource it has to plan and implement its strategy.In a high technology field in which products, customers' needs, markets, and technology itself are constantly changing, Motorola and companies like it need to rely on internal and external growth strategies, as well as intended and emergent strategies. To complete these strategies, they must rely on people.Their technical skill, motivation, and innovative ways of thinking. We can view a microcosm of Motorola's use of high-performance work systems, teamwork, empowerment, training, and education development of new technology, and so forth, to move its strategy forward in its new Harvard, Illinois location.One of the reasons Motorola chose this location for a $100 million plant was the concentration of qualified workers. The company normally hires only 1 in 10 applicants. Here, 65% of the applicants were hired. Another reason for the choice of location was its proximity to a nearby cellular subscriber operation.The size of the lot, 300 acres, was another factor. All these considerations were part of the intended strategy. Motorola's strategy does not stop at its own doors. At Harvard, the organization has reached out to the schools, focusing just as hard on the quality of education and training of future workers,as it does on the development and manufacture of its products. With its learning leadership teams, Motorola conducts meetings and programs to help teachers and administrators develop curricula that will launch students into a rapidly changing 21st century, preparing them to compete and succeed at their jobs. Teams of teachers then work with students who also complete learning projects in teams.
Passage interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese to English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
主席先生，尊敬的来宾，女士们，先生们，我很荣幸能前来参加由香港管理协会组织的晚餐会。应组委会的邀请，我来就香港金融管理局的工作、未来金融部门的发展以及影响香港中小型企业金融的因素等三方面说几句话。香港的中小型商业部门已经在香港的成功史上留下了光辉的一笔，因此要谈这方面的话题是很不容易的。中小型商业部门在香港的经济中扮演着重要的角色。在2000年，占全港制造业 95.6% 的38,552 家企业，平均从业人数不到50人，但总加起来却占了整个制造业从业人数的一半。香港金融管理局有三方面的职能，通过互联汇率系统维持金融的稳定，通过银行监管维持银行业的稳定，通过改善金融基础建设，尤其是改善支付系统，提高香港作为国际金融中心的地位。香港作为国际金融中心的前途十分光明，有以下几方面的主要原因。它位于世界上经济发展最快的区域的心脏地，具有战略意义。它拥有优越的通信基础设施，在技术、人员和金融机构方面实力雄厚，具备有利于商业经营的税收环境和管理环境。从银行的外部资产来看，它已经是世界第四大金融中心。 BIS 的最新调查结果显示，它是世界第五大外汇市场。从市场资本化来看，它是世界第七大股票市场。它还是亚洲发展最快的债券市场之一。在香港经营的中小型企业面临着哪些主要的金融挑战呢？我认为主要存在三方面问题。首先，从事制造业的公司开始进入中国和香港地区，在港经营的公司将越来越多地向服务行业转型。其次，作为在中国和香港地区公司的业主和经理，他们的融资要求将会改变。第三，世界范围内的中小型企业的融资模式正在发生变化。现在我来谈谈服务行业的情况。许多国际观察家似乎在暗示，如果香港越来越发展成为以服务为主的经济体，那么它的经济增长将不可避免地变得更加缓慢。他们是值得尊敬的，但我不能同意他们的观点。经济增长的源头将会改变，这点我完全同意。但一个引起更多争议的说法是，经济发展中的服务业难以与制造业匹敌。在香港，我们看到了， 由于劳动与租赁的成本较高，制造业不得不迁移至中国大陆和周边国家。然而这些制造业大军的总部仍然设在香港，为其制造生产过程提供策略引导、资金管理、市场营销、船务运输以及其他一些服务。以上这些服务都难以用统计数字来衡量。从某种意义上来说，在这个现代化世界，软件及服务行业甚或比硬件及制造业更重要。以美国为例，调查结果显示，从业人员少于500的中小型企业中，有 78.3% 属于服务行业。在英国，9万家中型企业占了 33% 的劳动力以及 40% 的私营部门产量。我深信，香港的自由市场环境将有利于其服务行业的蓬勃发展，一如过去有利于其制造业的发展。谢谢大家。
Passage 2 English to Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am very honored to attend this workshop on management strategy at invitation. In the following, I would like to share with you the success and failure of Amway in China in the past, which will merit our business operations around the world of different cultures. Amway is a U.S.-based direct sales companythat sells a wide variety of household and personal products using a grassroots marketing approach. The company signs up individual consumers as distributors, who then earn a commission on sales of Amway products. Almost anyone can become an Amway distributor by purchasing for a few hundred dollars a starter kit.That contains an assortment of Amway products and promotional literature, and by attending a few meetings for training about the Amway system, products, and sales techniques. The distributors are taught to engage in door-to-door selling and are encouraged to sell to friends, relatives, and acquaintances. In 1997,The company racked up $7 billion in sales using this approach, more than half outside the United States. Amway entered China in 1995, closely behind rival direct marketers Avon and Mary Kay. Several features attracted Amway to China. With a population of 1.2 billion people,The country offered a potentially huge consumer market. Given Amway's emphasis on direct selling, the lack of well-developed retail distribution systems in China seemed to play right into the company's hands. An Amway representative could offer a far broader range of products than could be found at most Chinese retail outlets, and often,at a lower price. Also, the strategy of selling to friends, relatives, and acquaintances seemed to make great sense in a society that emphasizes social relations and interpersonal networks. From the outset, Amway was determined to be one of the first direct marketers to establish a significant presence in China. Accordingly,It entered the country on a significant scale, quickly surpassing Avon and Mary Kay to become the largest direct marketer in China. By early 1998, Amway seemed to be doing well. The company had signed up 80,000 distributors in 37 cities across mainland China. It had opened a major factory in Guangzhou and had plans to invest $30 million in a second factory in Shanghai. Sales had reached $178 million in 1997, an 80% increase from the previous year. Then, unexpectedly, on April 22, 1998, the Chinese government announced a ban on direct selling. One problem was that the success of Amway and its American kin had encouraged thousands of local imitators, including a number of fraudulent enterprises and fly-by-night operators that sold everything from fake gold to potency pills. The government also objected to the motivational meetings used by Amway and others to reward top sellers and recruit new ones. Facing the loss or their Chinese investments, the U.S. companies called in the heavy cavalry in the form of U.S. Trade Representative Charlene Barshefsky. After intense pressure, the Chinese government agreed to a partial reversal of the ban. Under the new regulations issued in July 1998, the ban on direct selling stays in place, but Amway, Avon, and Mary Kay will be allowed to sell their products through retail outlets. In addition, they can use their sales representatives for service and delivery, but not for direct selling. The new regulations also state that only companies with an investment of more than $10 million may establish direct sales agents. Amway restated its business in China the day after the change in regulations was announced. However, the three-month shutdown had cost the company millions of dollars in lost sales. More significantly, perhaps, the ban on direct selling made it impossible for Amway to follow its normal business model in China. Thank you very much.
Unit 15, Science and Technology. Section 1, Dialogue for Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
欢迎做客科学时空节目。首先请您谈谈本世纪最有发展前景的一些科学技术。
Thanks for inviting me. Though there is no crystal ball gazing here, I have all the confidence to say there are some signs of scientific and technological advancements already on the horizon. Surely, further rapid progress can be expected in information technology, new materials, genetics technology, nanotechnology, environment protection, and energy technologies, to name just a few.
人类历史的一个重要的方面便是技术发展与经济社会发展的相互作用。您认为哪些技术对经济社会的影响会更大些？
In a 30-year perspective, genetics technology as well as energy and environment technologies could hold this potential. But looking ahead towards the next 10 years or so, the main driving force for economic and social change will be information technology. A decade from now, information technology will in all probability have penetrated every aspect of human activity. Once again, the interaction between the evolution of technology and the development of economy and society will have led to profound changes with regard to when, where, and how people work, play, and rest. To how, where, and what people consume and produce. And to when, where, and how they interact with other people, with business, social organizations, or government.
的确，人们最终将习惯与网络与生活的密切相连。我们会用上智能家具、厨房、办公室，会驾驶着由传感器引导的智能汽车在智能公路上行驶。
Yes, indeed. A further highly promising application is imaging, which will be used for highly sophisticated barcodes, video marketing, and virtual goods. Complex technical products, such as automobiles, skyscrapers, or aircrafts, will as a routine matter be designed, planned, built, tested, and evaluated in cyberspace before being manufactured for real.
由计算机实现的电子商务可能会大大改变人们现行的经商方式。任何人只要拥有电脑，可以上网，便可享受全球市场所提供的多样的选择和具有竞争力的供货。
This possibility and many others will have major implications for social organization in private life, business, and government. The advanced power of computing, coupled with low-cost telecommunications, may lead to new kinds of communities, both real and virtual. The possibility of teleworking, teleshopping, and telelearning may result in a move away from the big urban agglomerations and give rise to new developments in settlement patterns.
所有这一切都会进一步提高效率，同时又会提供更多的多样化空间，更多的个人选择，为人们提供许多自我决定、自我实现的崭新的机会。多谢光临。
Section 2Text for Interpretation Passage 1 Chinese to English Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
感谢校长热情洋溢的欢迎词，我愿意向大家介绍中国的一些情况。中国是一个有5000年文明历史的国家。从历史文化来了解和认识中国是一个重要的视角。中国古代哲人庄子曾说过：“一尺之锤，日取其半，万事不竭。”这表明中国古人就已认识到事物的发展变化是无限的，也说明我们的先人对自然界的认识已达到相当的水平。早在公元前2500年，中国人就开始了仰观天文、俯察地理的活动，逐渐形成了天人合一的宇宙观。中国历史上产生了许多杰出的哲学家、思想家、政治家、军事家、科学家和文学艺术家，留下了浩如烟海的文化典籍。春秋战国时期出现的百家争鸣局面，和老子、孔子等诸子百家的学说，在世界思想史上占有重要地位。古代中国在天文历法、地学、数学、农学、医学和人文科学的许多领域都做出过独特的贡献。殷商时期的甲骨文中就有日月之时的记载。从秦代到清末的2100多年间，哈雷彗星出现27次，中国都有记录。汉代张衡发明了测定地震方位的地动仪 和掩饰日月星辰的浑天仪。先秦的数学家提出了勾股定理，南北朝的祖冲之算出圆周率为 3.1415926。 明代朱载首创十二平均律，后来被认定为世界通行的标准音调。中国的医药学在世界上独树一帜，中国的丝织、制瓷、冶金、造船技术很早就达到世界的先进水平，特别是中国的造纸、火药、印刷术、指南针四大发明曾经改变了世界的面貌。直到15世纪以前，中国的科学技术在世界上保持了千年的领先地位。中国人的这些发明创造体现了人与自然协调发展、科学精神与道德理想相结合的理性光辉。中国的历史文化始终处于发展进步之中，它是通过各种学科、各种学派的相互砥砺、相互渗透而发展的，也是通过同世界各国的相互交流、相互学习而进步的。中国人早就懂得兼取众长以为己善的道理。汉唐时期既是经济繁荣的盛世，也是中外交流的盛世。张骞出使西域，开拓举世闻名的丝绸之路。明代郑和七下西洋，把中华文化传向远方的国度。但是后来，特别是清代晚期，封建统治者实行闭关锁国政策，阻碍了中国的进步和中外交流。鸦片战争以来，一代又一代先进的中国人为了振兴中华，努力向西方国家学习先进的科学思想和文明成果，并同中国的实际相结合，推动了中国社会的变革与发展。今天正在为实现现代化而奋斗的中国人民，把对外开放作为一项基本国策，同世界各国进行广泛的交流与合作，开创了中国历史上崭新的开放局面。
Passage 2. English to Chinese Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. It is too early to write an obituary for bulky picture tubes, which will remain the most affordable TV sets for years to come. But analysts and industry executives insist that thin screens already have started to become the dominant format for TV sets in the digital era. Sharp price cuts have brought plasma sets and other thin, flat panel televisions out of high-end electronic boutiques and into thousands of mass market outlets such as Costco, a wholesale buying club in the U.S. The least expensive plasma sets still cost a hefty $3,000 or more, yet sales are growing so rapidly that many manufacturers are racing to boost production. That increase, combined with expanding production capacity and improved technology, could very soon push the price of plasma sets down by one-third, according to analyst Richard Doherty, of a U.S. research firm. But manufacturers are not just competing with each other. They are also trying to fend off the challenges from competing thin screen technologies, such as liquid crystal displays, LCD. The demand for thin screens is fueled in part by the advent of DVDs and digital TV broadcasts, which offer more detailed pictures and more lifelike colors than conventional analog TV signals. To see the difference, consumers need a set that can pack more information onto the screen than their current TVs can. This sharpness is most vivid on screens that are 40 inches diagonal or larger. At that size, however, traditional direct view and projection TVs are so bulky that many consumers have trouble finding a place for them at home. Hence the interest in thin screens, models slender and light enough to hang on a wall. The glass panels at the heart of plasma and LCD sets come mainly from about a dozen companies with factories in Japan, South Korea, and increasingly China. About 800,000 plasma panels will be shipped this year around the world, analysts say. That is a tiny amount compared with the overall market for TVs, which was about 140 million sets last year. Helping drive the growth are new or expanded manufacturing facilities. For example, Japanese electronics giant NEC last year doubled the capacity of its Japanese factory, reaching 300,000 to 400,000 plasma panels, and it plans to double it again soon, officials say. As competition has heated up during the last 4 years, prices have fallen more than 50%. According to NPD Tech World, the average price of a plasma display sold in the U.S. dropped from $12,700 U.S. in January 1999 to $6,100 U.S. dollars in October 2002. The best markets for plasma screens have been in Asia, and about half of the sets have gone to businesses instead of homes. LCD TVs carry a premium price. They can be 10 times as expensive as a comparable tube-driven television. That knocks them out of most buyers' budgets. But LCD panels are quickly taking over the market for computer monitors, and the tens of millions of panels being produced for that segment will help push down prices for LCD TVs, analysts predicted. Sharp Electronics, for one, is betting heavily on LCDs. Its chairman, Toshiaki Yurishisako, has predicted that Sharp will switch completely from conventional tube sets to LCD TVs in Japan. Section 4. Interpretation Practice. Note-taking and gap-filling. Note-taking. Listen to the tape and take any necessary notes.
You may know where your parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents come from. But what about their grandparents and their grandparents' grandparents? Anthropologists like to look even farther back, to the very beginnings of our species. A new discovery gives some clues about where and when the human family tree began. Three human skulls unearthed in Africa are between 154,000 and 160,000 years old. That makes them the oldest fossils of modern people ever found. The new find supports a popular theory that the first humans came from Africa, then spread out and took over the rest of the world. Other anthropologists still think there was some mixing between ancient humans, Neanderthals, and other human-like groups. Either way, the new finds are an important link in our species family tree. More answers will come with more fossil discoveries.
Gap filling. Listen to the tape and fill in the blanks with the words missing.
In North America, chopsticks are the emblem of an increasingly popular cuisine. However, few of the Westerners patronizing East Asian restaurants have mastered the art of scooping rice or tweezing meat, veggies, and noodles with a pair of bamboo rods. As a result, many people eat Chinese and other Asian entrees using cutlery. If there's any consolation to those of us who have fumbled with chopsticks, a new study questions the ergonomics of these dining implements. It appears that the regular long-term use of chopsticks can foster the development of age-related arthritis. Osteoarthritis is the degeneration of joints, primarily in elderly people. Its destruction of cartilage and ensuing damage to bone and joints causes stiffness and chronic intense pain. Although genetics makes many people vulnerable to osteoarthritis, repetitive motions can aggravate the disease in affected joints. Indeed, where this disease affects the fingers, those on the most used hand tend to suffer most.
Passage interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese to English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
近200年来，人类知识确实大大增长了，也确实出现了许许多多新生事物。举凡火车、轮船、高楼、电灯、电影、电话、无线电，都是我们的先人所没有看见过的。到了20世纪后半叶，新生事物更是层出不穷。计算机、核能发电、电视、超音速飞机、人造卫星、激光、生物工程、器官移植、网络通讯等等等等，这些是甚至100年前的人都未曾梦想到的事物。为什么人类历史发展到了20世纪末能有如此高速的进步？回答很简单，科学发展通过5、6个世纪的酝酿、萌芽与成长，到了20世纪达到了技术起飞的地步，从而使人类的生产力以指数的速率年年增长，使致力于新技术的人数年年增加，使投资于新技术的资金年年增长。所有这些发展造成了20世纪的繁荣以及21世纪美好前景。今天科技发展的高速度使得我们无法预测21世纪末世界将发展成什么样子。就像20世纪之初，没有人能梦想到20世纪末的生物工程与网络通讯一样。可是，如果我们只讨论以后30、40年间的发展，那么有一些大趋势，现在实际上就已经相当明朗化了。下面我想就此问题提出我个人的几点看法。首先，今后30、40年，全球科技发展的重点将继续向技方面倾斜。科技研究可以大略分成基础研究、发展研究与应用研究3个阶层。一般讲起来，基础研究加发展研究是科，是大学与研究所里面的研究；发展研究加应用研究是技，是工业研究所与工厂里面的研究。我认为，今后30、40年，全球科技发展的重点 将继续向技方面倾斜。这一点可以从以下看出来。虽然从1950年到2000年，基础发展与应用研究三者都有增加，但增加的幅度却以后二者，尤其是第三者为大。这个大趋势是源于下面一个历史事实。20世纪上半叶，基础研究的成果大大增加了人类对物理世界与生物世界的了解与控制能力，从而使得新应用、新产品可以层出不穷，造成了今天应用研究的欣欣向荣的趋势。而此趋势在以后30-40年还会继续下去。以后30-40年间，应用研究发展最快的将有以下几个领域。一、芯片的广泛应用，应用到大小建筑，到家庭，到汽车，到人体，到工厂，到商店，到几乎一切地方。二、医学与药物的高速发展。三、生物工程。这三个领域的发展，我以为将是以后30-40年世界经济发展的火车头。另外，贸易全球化是将继续发展，尤其在中国进入世界贸易组织以后。科学与技术的发展到了今天，有了贸易全球化的可能。当然，这么大的影响这么多人的动向，不可能没有反对的声音。可是总体来说，全球化今天符合世界大多数人民的利益，所以必会继续下去。中国在世界科技发展中的地位将大幅提高。今天中国的高科技比起先进国家还差一大截，这就使得许多人认为中国的科技不行，这是完全错误的看法。近代科学引进中国是20世纪的事情，一个世纪之间只几代人就从真正的零开始发展到了今天中国的神舟号飞船可以升天与收回的地步，是史无前例的高速发展。我认为中国科技发展如此迅速，有其内在的基本原因，而这些原因在21世纪是更加强了，更巩固了。所以到了2030年与2040年，中国的科技水准必定会达到世界的最前沿。
听力课堂，听 class.com。